Welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, principal and founder of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and creator of the Spiritually Fierce movement. Spiritually Fierce is not just a phrase. It is a movement of awakening consciousness of which we are all a part, if we want to be. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be spiritually fierce, how to become it, and why it is the revolution in consciousness that will save the world. Join me and my fierce guests for deep conversations on spirituality beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the new age that will support you to increase your power to serve. Welcome, everybody, to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. And this season, as you know, is dedicated to difficult spiritual conversations. And I am joined by an exceptional woman who's currently in Florida from Atlanta, but hanging out with us this evening, her time, to talk about a very extraordinary story from traditional Western medicine doctor to medical intuitive. I'm blessed to have Dr. Susan Nicholas, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her because she is quite exceptional. So formerly or currently a physician and surgeon, but having had a conscious awakening, you transitioned your life and founded SusanNicholas.org, a conscious media company. Today, you are a life transformation guide, quantum energy healer, and international speaker. Your speaking platform is The Frequency of Money, where you inspire audiences to positively transform their relationship with money. You're a TEDx presenter on money consciousness, which I'm really interested in, particularly coming from that overcoming generational poverty, which is kind of really different to a lot of the manifestation law of attraction stuff that really doesn't address that. So I am keen to know more about that. As the founder of the Human Consciousness Consortium Publishing, you are a four-time author of The Duality of Being, Two Parts of Me, The Death of Cupcake, and Poor Max, a story about overcoming generational poverty. And I saw that you write for adults and children through your publishing house, which is incredibly cool. You host your own podcast, the Be Conscious Podcast, which has the sexiest introduction voiceover. I don't know if you know that person, but I'm like, that is a very sexy voice. You should go listen now, everyone. You're going to tell me it's your dad or something, aren't you? And then I'm going to get all good. It's not your dad. And your diverse work, Common Thread, to awaken humanity to consciousness. A frequent guest podcaster for international medical and business influencers, Susan's perspectives and works have been featured in Yahoo Finance, the Associated Press, HuffPost, Authority Magazine, Conscious Life Journal, Sway Media, Thrive Global, The Native Influence, TEDx, Forbes, Books, Radio, Fox News, and NBC8, Ask the Doctor. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Adams. It's my pleasure to be here with you and your audience today.
Right back at you, Liz. Very happy to have you here. And I want to jump straight into it. So tell me, my darling, how did your spiritual journey begin?
You know, I believe my spiritual journey began when I was doing my clinical fellowship in cardiothoracic surgery. Yeah. And it was a time in my medical career when I would say came to the intersection of my, I would say, purpose and my career. Like there was an impasse. Yeah. And I had what I would call a hollowness of the soul. Yeah. That I could do the job. I could technically do the job and study and learn, but inside I was empty. I had a emptiness of the soul, a crevasse void. And I didn't know how to fill it. My whole life up until that point was escaping generational poverty. I did that geographically and I did that educationally, getting degree after degree to be secure, to have enough and to believe that I was good enough. Yeah. And so I think, Ricky Jane, I went on this path of what I call external validation to let myself know, let the world know that I was a good person, good enough person, and that I was doing value in the world. But that journey was an outward an outward expression or an outward journey. And I never acknowledged the inner self and what was truly my purpose in life. I thought I was doing my purpose because I did love learning what I was learning. And what I was doing, I felt was meaningful and important to me, but it wasn't fulfilling me. Mm. And I guess I felt that at every milestone, I would learn happiness or I would feel happy. Yeah. And it was like this dangling carrot that it was just after this next thing or this placement or that role or that amount of money or that title, then I would be happy. Then I would be fulfilled. And I tell you, that time never came. And so I ended up coming to this crossroads where I couldn't do it anymore. And I made the decision to take my own life. And I think it was partly out of ignorance because I didn't know any other way. Like the path that I had taken was very challenging and difficult. Very few people had taken that journey. And here I was, what I believed at the height of my worldly success, but woefully unfulfilled. And I didn't know how to remedy that except to exit this life. And I believe that was when I heard my inner voice speak to me for the very first time. Mm. And I knew I had to change something dramatically to go on living. And so naturally, because I was very career driven and oriented, I believed that I just needed to make a career shift. And that would, you know, figure everything out. That not that I would just have money or a title, but I would have time. Like I'd have this coveted balance and then I would feel fulfilled. And so I went from clinical medicine to going into business school.
Wow.
And then becoming a healthcare entrepreneur and starting a healthcare company.
Yeah.
In business school, or the end of it, I gave birth to my son. And then I became an entrepreneur. So I was a couple years into this entrepreneur journey. It was about 5 years after that shift out of clinical medicine. And here I was again with what I call the soulful void.
Wow.
And I thought, if I experience this depth of hollowness again, I would make it this time. And I had a 2-year-old son, and I would cry a lot, and I was in this place of searching, really searching, so I could be here, you know, to raise my son, that I could stand it, you know, that I could stand living. And I believe I was given a gift, and I call it the gift now consciousness, where I began living outside of my body, having out of body experiences, and for the first time, I felt at peace. And I thought that initially, just from my clinical background, that experience was what happens when you're about to die. And again, I felt strangely at peace, like I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But here I am. That was 10 years ago. I'm still here. And I realized that that wasn't my exit. It was really the beginning of my conscious and spiritual journey. Yeah. And to finally be fulfilled. Wow. So here I am.
Wow. There's so much in that. And I just also wonder, you know, did you start medical school when you were 12? Because I'm trying to do like, there's no way you can have done all of that in your life so far. It's so huge. And I love what you're sharing so transparently, that sense of, it doesn't have to make any sense to anyone else, but even when you go chasing and achieve what everybody else would consider to be the highest ideal for your life, it can leave you wanting. And, you know, even in the pursuit of that, you know, you tried so hard to change what wasn't working and still it didn't work. So you now call yourself a medical intuitive. What point did that, after that awakening of consciousness, did you go, oh, wow, I can serve through this?
Well, I think how it started for me was in that journey of trying to figure out who am I? You know, asking that very profound question. It was in the examination of my life. I felt that I began examining myself. And I ended up at this place called the Monroe Institute. It's in Virginia for out-of-body travel.
Wow.
And in that place, I had my first energy session. I'd never even heard of it. Like, I was very ignorant to the spiritual self. I had no creativity about me. I was just very much about the books and, you know, procedures and processes and goals and schedules. And it was at that place that I realized that there was more than this physical. I knew that there was more than the physical self, but I didn't know, I guess, how to tap into it.
Yeah.
Or certainly how to shift it, yeah. You know, to move energy. And so I had my first session, and this healer, in my mind, she was just waving her hands over me, and I heard these whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And when she was finished, I just wept. I had this release, and I intuitively knew what I needed to do. And that was in Virginia, and it was at a week-long in-house, you know, session. We would do these meditations and these out-of-body travels, like living there for a week. And when I returned home, I would say 6-8 months later, I was like, oh, I need one of those energy healings again. And I just typed into Google and found a local healer. And I literally like signed a waiver and just laid on her table, never met her, never talked to her. She didn't know about my history. And I just knew that I wanted that feeling of release again. And for me, releasing was leaving out of myself. I always felt free, just incredibly free. Well, I didn't again mention any of this, and she starts my healing, and I feel myself go. And I just felt, I was like, oh, you know, like I'm out. And I have my out of body stuff and my energy's out. And I had no idea that the healer could tell that I left. And it was just an experience that I was having. Well, the hour came to and she rang a bell, and then I felt myself return into myself. But I didn't realize that I had all these stones in my palms and around my feet. And she said, don't move. And she left out the room and came back literally shaking with a cup of water. And she said, there's something I need to tell you. And she goes, I thought I lost you on the table. That has never happened to me. And I said, oh, don't worry. You know, I leave out. And she was just like dumbfounded. And she said, I've been moving energy for 30 years. And she goes, I have never met an energy like yours. She said, it's ancient. Mm. And she went on to tell me that if I ever wanted to learn to move energy, she would like to teach me.
Wow.
Well, in my, I guess, the hecticness of my life, I had a toddler. I was like, maybe, you know, like I didn't take it seriously. I was like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Be an energy healer? I just, in my mind, I was so, I would say, stuck in the money construct that I was afraid to come into my spiritual self because I didn't know how it could support me.
Yeah.
And this is why I do all this work around money now, because it stops us, you know, it holds us back, I believe, from fulfilling our purpose or our dreams.
Yeah.
And so this was what the cycle I was going through. And so I was just basically being a mom, being an entrepreneur, like grinding it out, grinding it out, grinding it out with all this going on inside of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think I reached a point in 2016. I had a run and I divested my healthcare company that I was recruited to work in a healthcare and an equity investment firm. I was 2 years into that job and I got fired. And I received a severance package. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to do what I am to do. And so it wasn't until the end of 2016 that I began doing my spiritual work, like really doing it.
Yeah.
And this is the result of it.
Yeah. Wow. What an amazing story. And really just, yeah, I'm just hanging off every word and I'm just thinking about what I have 100 questions I want to ask you. I am really, really interested in the money conversation, particularly that idea that it isn't safe to walk away from traditional forms of earning a living, or the hustle or the grind, and how can you possibly work spiritually, particularly when you have come from financial insecurity and uncertainty and that intergenerational poverty. You know, so much of the conversation around money in spiritual superficiality comes from this very privileged place where you've never had poverty, you've never understood, you know, what it is to live in poverty. And therefore you're like, yeah, of course I can just kind of, you know, do this, borrow some money, go there, try something. If it doesn't work, doesn't matter. You know, someone else will pay for it. Mm-hmm. But you're speaking to a very personal experience of, you know, having worked your way out of that intergenerational poverty to then turn around and say, okay, I'm going to risk it all. You know, talk to me about that and why, you know, how you serve people to overcome that fear of stepping into the unknown with money now.
Okay.
Good questions. So,
yes, but they're great ones. And I'm so happy that you're asking me, because I believe, you know, our beliefs around money hold us back from fulfilling our dreams. I think just if I take it like that, no matter if you came from poverty as I did generationally, or if you were born into a life of excess and largesse, there are still beliefs around money. You may have come from comfort and have guilt surrounding money. There may be religious constraints or beliefs around money being evil or the root of evil. There may be have been secrets about money. Maybe money was stolen or misappropriated, or there was crimes committed surrounding money. Some people are afraid, you know, have this disparate fear of losing their money because they attach it to their self-worth. Mm. And that is where I really work in the area of recognizing that our outward financial net worth is often a mirror of our innate self-worth. And many of us that have come from the poverty side of it have a unnaturally deflated sense of self-worth, like an inferiority, believing that there's something wrong with me, or I'm not good enough in some way to have everything that I need, like almost like it's a curse or something. And then there's an acceptance that this is just how it is. It's always been this way. And never really doing, I believe, what I call the process or work of introspection to unfurl those beliefs, to realize that you're fully, that you're divine within, and that each of us is worthy of each and everything that we believe we are worthy of. And so for me, I believe that it comes from a trust in the universe, that everything, you know, if some people can't get out to the universe or this universal substrate of creation, maybe we can get back to the earth and say, okay, everything that we have or needed has been provided by the planet. And then maybe we can say, well, who or what provided this planet, like in all of its infinite resources and all of the life, not just the human life, but all the life that it supports, and over the millennia. Some will believe this earth is 4.5 billion years old. So all the time, you know, that we can conceive linearly in our brains, since if we continue to perceive time in that way, how has it all been done? And it hasn't been a person, right? Or a paycheck or a corporation. It's been, I believe, what I call this universal support structure, that allows this to be, that allows us to be. And so I think there's a fundamental question that I believe we all must ask ourselves. And that is if we believe that we are in fact the embodiment of a benevolent universe that only wants to serve us. And so I've had to ask myself that. And for most of my life, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that I was supported. I always felt lacking, scarcity, that there wasn't enough, no matter how much money I made, what titles I had, jobs I had. It never felt like enough, because in my soul, like in the core of my essence, I felt not enough. Yeah. In some way, I didn't feel loved enough. I didn't feel smart enough, this or that. And I was always chasing to prove to the world, maybe to myself, that I was good enough. Mm. And I think when you come to outside of that construct, out of that conditioning and that programming, you realize that you're enough, right? You are enough. And that it's not chasing those resources. It's the vibration resonating within you that attracts all that you need. You know, all of the connections, all of the resources. And I think what also occurs for us, Ricky Jane, is we believe that money and whatever form and country that money is, even a mere digital display on a screen, we believe that that is wealth or that is riches. And I like to speak about the continuum of wealth, that the energy of money, if you will, the consciousness of money is this infinite source of connections. It's this connection with us, and it's our collaborations. It's all of it. It's our friends. It's our family. It's, I believe, autonomy over the resource that is our time. It is our health. It's our ideas and creativity. All of that is the energy of money. It's this magnificent force, this magnificent, powerful force of all the connections that are made that bring you money and other untold resources, like of your youth, of all of it, your health, your well-being, all of it. That is also wealth. And so when we expand our definition, we realize that we are infinitely wealthy. It's all of it, our ideas, our creativity, all of it. And so then we can start to dissolve, I believe, those false beliefs, those antiquated belief systems that tell us if we don't have this amount of money or some benchmark of outside of ourselves of cash or investments or savings or whatever, then we're poor. You know, then we're, you know, something's wrong with us. Some people are infinitely, have infinite, I would say, other aspects of wealth within them. And it's really, I believe, about raising your inner vibration to that of gratitude, of love, of loving to have, a truly desiring from a place, from the heart space that allows you to attract all the other physical resources that are required for you to achieve what you want in life.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you make a correlation, you know, that piece that you spoke about of that self-esteem, that self-worth relating to your net worth, that sense of if you are lacking one, if you've been raised without self-belief, if you've been shown a world that says you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you don't deserve to have what others have, do you make a correlation with that ancient energy that healer identified within you to be what allowed you to overcome that wound? Because I ask that because it takes a Herculean effort to break those bonds, right? Yeah. And you are a way shower in that way, because you've come not from, you know, like me, privileged white girl, middle class Australian, never been financially challenged in my life. You know, you have come from a lived experience.
Yes.
And you have created within you that new energetic set point. And I wonder if you believe, is it possible for all of us to do that? Or do you believe that there is something within you, you know, there obviously is something within you that's extraordinary. And it's a slightly provocative question, I guess, but I'm wondering, you know, why do you feel like this is what God wanted for your path and your purpose? Like, what is it about you that made you the one to do this?
Wow, that's a beautiful question. To answer the first part of it, I do think that it's within the essence of any person or being who wants it, like who's open, I would say, to receiving.
Yeah.
You know, these messages, these frequencies, these energies. But on the other side of that, I think what makes me the messenger of it, if you will, is the lived experience. And knowing that I was just like any, born to a teenage mother, a great deal of shame around money in my family. There was prostitution. I call it this prostitution energy, where my mother's mother was a prostitute. There was a great deal of shame about how money was earned, particularly women earning money. And I even though that's not the path that I chose, and I was not a prostitute, I carried that energy, like the energy with me. So if you think about it this way, some of us can rationally say, oh yeah, I got grandma's hair or grandpa's nose or toes. Yeah, that's my great uncle. He was, you know, we have the same smarts or the same business sense. That's all of that is energy. Mm-hmm. So the building blocks of our DNA, the core, the subatomic, you know, all the named and unnamed, the known and unknown particles of energy that make up those building blocks, that's energy at its core. It's all energy. And I believe that as beings of light, of beings of energy, of truly being energetic beings in an embodiment, that we carry the thread, a very long thread. I believe, you know, when we are born into the universe, we are here for a very long time, and that we carry the threads of those ancestral energies that have not been transformed. Mm-hmm. And so I speak a lot about energy, and really I believe it can come down to the very first law of thermodynamics that says energy is not created nor destroyed, but it is transformed. It changes state. Mm-hmm. And so I can't get rid of that energy or those beliefs and say, oh, I'm going to forget about it, or I'm going to ignore it. We know this doesn't happen, right? And many of us will numb ourselves, drug ourselves, kill ourselves, you know, do all kinds of stuff so we don't feel. But those feelings, that I believe those are the pings from our soul that says, hey, this, that. And instead of dealing with it and going in, taking that inner journey, we go outward and try to find all the answers. Of course, we don't find them. The journey that I've been on and many are on. And then we end up trying to exit out of this life some way, killing ourselves very quickly or with 1,000 cuts. Yeah. And so I think, you know, if we learned like from a very, very early age when we were born, if we had very conscious awakened parents, communities, societies to transform these energies early on, then I think we would be like happy people. Like we would, the world would be transformed. Like it would be unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Because we would recognize that, oh, this is a thread. This is energy. And my soul is like, okay, you're here now in this embodiment. Let's do this work. Let's transform it.
Yeah.
We're only conditioned and trained in this life to do what I call our external work, our physical work, the third dimensional work. Very little, if any, credence is given to the work of that we are here for on a soul level. Yeah. And I believe on a very fundamental level, we are here to mature our eternal souls. Like this is I call it a cosmic kindergarten, and that we are here to mature our souls as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you for speaking so deeply and passionately to it. And there's so much that you're sharing that's just like, yes, yes, yes. Feel that. It is an extraordinary thing to imagine what would happen if we gave this knowledge to our children. And if I'm imagining that's why your commitment is there to write children's books as much as adults' books and to get them into those hands early on.
Absolutely. In fact, I in creating the Human Consciousness Consortium, firstly, the dream, if you will, is to create a physical consciousness consortium. But all the pieces of it, the reason I'm creating a conscious media company is to, I believe it's the next and perhaps the final frontier. Mm-hmm. We see all of these constructs breaking down with women, with race, with gender, all of these governments, like all of these constructs are crumbling down.
Yeah.
And I think we still have to crumble the money construct and break it down and really relate our, open up that dialogue about our self-worth and that continuum of wealth, and that we are fully supported, that belief in that. Because only then can, I believe we tap in, only at a higher energetic frequency do we tap into that energy of money in a fundamental way. Because we are, I believe, all in a relationship with money, but many of us are unconscious about it,
yeah.
or it's at best dysfunctional. Mm. Like, you know, we don't even realize what we're doing. And so it comes from a place of ignorance. And so we can be excused for ignorance if we do the work, I believe, of introspection and understand there are forces at play that are much larger and deeper that we truly cannot comprehend. And that if we can just tap into that, then we can begin to transform not only ourselves, but we can transform our families, our communities, our societies, and our world, right? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And so the idea for me is not just writing books and speaking and podcasting and doing wonderful shows like yours, but to create digital content. I'm writing a screenplay, for instance, for The Duality of Being. And I'm also looking to create an animated children's series. Mm-hmm. And so we see so much, I don't want to call it nonsense, but it's not nourishing us, the content. But what if we had animated content or digital content that actually nourished our soul as well as entertained us?
Yeah.
And so that's the whole idea behind Conscious Media, that it's not just, I don't know, cool vibes and, you know, cool pictures of the earth and the cosmos, but it's about down on the ground, like, you know, boots on the ground, like real life. And how do we transform from there?
Yeah.
Like from that place, like everyone, anyone who's open to these messages has the capacity to shift.
Yeah.
And so I don't think, Ricky Jane, that everybody born on the planet right now is, I don't want to say will want it, but that isn't what they are here to do. You know, some people are on this journey. And I believe it's an ascension path, and not everybody is, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And so, but I think those who, these messages, if you will, resonate with those who are ready.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's who this is for, those who are ready.
Yeah. I love that. I'm so, again, so humbled and really like, what can't you do? And I think it must be a daily chore for you to figure out, okay, I could do anything. Where am I going to put my mm-hmm. attention? Because you really can. And I love that encoding the consciousness of our children. And I'm just sitting here thinking, as the mother of two boys, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, there's so much that they are exposed to digitally, like the media, the TV shows, the video games, you know, they're watching and engaging with, that are doing nothing to nourish and enrich their sense of self and their sense of their own consciousness. So I'm all for it. I fully, fully endorse, and I'm so excited. So what is something we can do right now to tap into that frequency that, you know, you've described so beautifully, that allows us to be attuned to that sense of abundance, of wealth and connection that goes beyond the financial? What is something that we can action in this moment?
Okay. So I would say one of the very first steps that I took on this journey was I wrote down what I wanted my life to look like. No limitations. No, you can't erase anything, say, oh, no, that's not possible. Yeah. But what do you really want? Like, what do you want? What would you desire most? What would you absolutely love to have? Like, if this happened, you would like jump up and dance.
Yeah.
That energy, that's the energy that we must, if you will, manifest from.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, when we don't really know how to speak to this universe of ours. We think it's about, you know, repetition and praying, and a lot of that's out of desperation, wanting and needing. But I believe this, the language of the universe is the frequency of our feelings. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest secret we're that's never told. But the language of this magnificent universe of ours is the frequency of our feelings. That is how powerful we are as creators.
Yeah.
And so when I make an ask of the universe, I am creating this conscious media company, and this is what it's going to do, that I create it not from a place of desperation or disbelief or doubt or fear, but I create it from a place of love, that I declare that request to the universe from this highest possible frequency of love. Now, we can't be there all the time, right? Life is going to happen. We've got all this old ancient ancestral energy that we're transforming. We're going to have up days and down days. Things are going to happen that we won't be able to process instantaneously. That's the nature of our human experience. But what I won't do in those times is wallow in that sadness, that desperation, that funk, that depression, that doubt. I'll quickly recognize what that is, this energy, and begin the introspection of how do I transform this? What is this showing me? What is this teaching me?
Yeah.
And when I begin to like redirect my thinking, then I can shift out of that.
Yeah.
And I think the surest way to shift out of those heavy, dense energies is to come to a place of gratitude.
Yeah.
You may not be grateful for your money situation or your family situation or the home that you're in or whatever you have yet to, I would say, attract to you, but find what you are grateful for, what you're truly grateful for. It can be that the sun came out today, that you are alive, that you have running water, that you have enough to eat, that you have love in your life, that you can create, that you are here. Whatever smallest thing that you can think of, if you come to that place of what you truly are grateful for, that is the surest way to raise you out of that. Because it reminds you of all the miracles untold. I think we have so many miracles, we don't even recognize them. We take them for granted.
Yeah.
Even how we are connecting here today is nothing less than miraculous.
Yeah.
If we really think about it, how is this possible? This is, I believe, part of this energy of money, mm-hmm. of making these powerful connections. And we've both tapped into it.
Yeah.
Now, if I were home on my couch, woe is me, I could have never tapped into you. And the same thing is true for you. If you are in a cycle of no possibilities and limitations and life is terrible, we could not have connected, yeah. right? So we're here about building potentials. And if we even think about every miracle that we can even conceive, they're too numerous to count.
Yeah.
You know, all of it, that you have survived this long on this planet. I mean, that's a miracle. This is not an easy place to live. You know, the earth is a formidable planet in its beauty and vastness and awesomeness. And it's tough. You know, this is not an easy existence.
Yeah.
By no means.
Yeah.
No matter what you were born into. Because nobody comes to earth for free, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody. Everybody has something that they must do. Energy they must transform. Work that they must do. You know, evolution of self. Everyone has that in common. Every single person. And it comes in all sorts of flavors, shapes, sizes, colors, and you name it.
Yeah.
And so I believe if we can find nothing in common, it is, if you will, the struggle. You know, of being here on the planet, of being embodied. We are all experiencing an embodiment.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot that goes into being able to shift your money story, to raise your vibration. A lot of it is about beliefs. A lot of it is about your language, because that also carries a vibration. Mm. And so one of the things that I'll share with you and your audience is, when I speak, it's very deliberate. I am very conscious and I'm very aware of the power of I am, that is a vibrational resonance. And so anything that comes after that, and so it is. Mm-hmm. And so if I am tired, oh, can you believe how tired I am? If I don't know, then I seem to not know. If I am open, then, oh my gosh, all the possibilities that come to me. Yeah. If I am well inside, if life is full, not busy, it feels different. And so I'm very specific in the words that I use. And when, even more so, when I'm requesting this powerful energy of all things, this energy of money, this energy of resources, of connections, of all of it, I also request in the present, and I make sure I don't use the word in English need or want. I go back to this idea of what I desire most and what I would love to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely love to have.
Yeah.
And that's how I make the request.
Yeah.
Because the universe only wants to give us what we truly desire from our heart, right?
Yeah.
And so if I love something, then that's what it's going to try to show me. That's what it's like, all right, like what, how many connections, what do we have to put in place for to fulfill this, right? To fulfill this love of whatever it is. And so that's what I want the universe working to make sure that I'm getting what I'd love to have or experiencing what I'd love to experience, meeting who I'd love to meet, doing what I would love to do. But most of the time, we're focused on what we don't want.
Yeah.
And that's what we put out there. And so I say, when I want, the universe shows me more things to want for. When I need, when I'm needy, insecure, it shows me more things to validate that insecurity.
Yeah.
Because I say, oh, I knew this would happen. I knew it would happen, you know? And it just validates those feelings.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't want to use that. I want to manifest, I want to request from this universe, this magnificent universe that is me, that is you, that is all of it. I want to manifest from a place of love, this highest vibration of love that I can possibly imagine. So manifest when you're dancing around to music and having the best day ever. do your request. And then you have these days when, you know, you have the ups and downs. You say, you know what, universe? Yeah, this was a challenge day. But my requests, they still stand, right? You remember that like party? That's still there. Like, you know, that's who I am.
Oh,
so
my God.
Do it whenever you can. Dancing in the shower, you know, turn on music, be in your happy place. And that's when all that manifestation, when all of that should be playing out, you know, and request that from the present tense, from a place of love.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so powerful. That was like a sermon. You need to take that out to the people. I'm sure you do already in all your glorious talks, but just absolutely love every word. And, you know, just hearing the passion in the way that you share that and that energetic shift, even as you're speaking, that transformation, just being in your energy. I'm so honored. I want to ask a few questions just so we can get to know you a little bit to wrap up our time together. What do people misunderstand about you?
That is a very good one. You know, I think I've always been seen as a serious person. Mm-hmm. And I actually am very light inside, you know? I mean, I used to be very heavy. I mean, there's no doubt. But I think despite the spiritual journey, I don't want to just say despite it, but on the spiritual journey, it doesn't have to always be serious and heavy and you know, like this drudgery, but it's like a light place, you know, it's like a place of levity. And, you know, I like, you know, being light and not thinking too much about stuff too.
Yeah.
It actually, I think takes a lot of the thinking out of it because now I'm all about feeling. I introspect a great deal. And my introspection before my awakening was dark. It was very heavy. It was very full of sorrow. Now my introspecting is more curious. And I just imagine what if a lot more and how things could be different. And I would say through this journey, I become more of an observer.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm always heavy in introspection, but I'm just more of an observer now. Not so reactionary to things.
Yeah.
And so I consider myself just an observer of life, observer of self, very aware of my body and what's happening within it. I'm very, and I introspect on it. I don't blame the world outside. I look at me first. And sometimes I may appear quiet, or not, you know, I'm not hanging out at bars and doing any, you know, those fun things. But it doesn't mean I'm not fun or having fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we've seen that already. That was just so much joy pouring out of you. I would love to know what you're reading right now.
Okay. I'm reading for the fourth time, a book that I love. It's called Love Money, Money Loves You.
Yeah.
Actually, it's by an Australian, Sarah McCrum.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of her. I heard her speak at a conference. And I think her work is very transformative in the inner area of what I consider money consciousness.
Yeah, amazing.
And so I recommend it all the time and I read it over and over. And it's I think it's extraordinary.
Amazing. Well, we will add that to the show notes so everyone can find that as well. And if today was your last day on earth, what would you want us to know? What's your message?
Last day on earth message. Be conscious.
That is very good. You are on message.
I'm always asking people to be conscious, you know, be aware. And, you know, people have asked me, what does that mean, consciousness? And to me, I know there's a definition of it, but from an experienced place, to me, consciousness is the awareness that I'm infinitely more than my physical self.
Yeah.
And that higher aspect of myself, my beingness, also has a reason for the embodiment.
Yeah.
And that's this too is part of my journey.
Yeah. Thank you, dear Dr. Susan Nicholas. It has been such a privilege and we could really talk for days. I just feel like, yes, I've scratched the surface of your experience. And I hope that you're also writing your book on your life story. If you haven't done that already, I think it's, you are very, very compelling energetically, physically, in all the ways. And I feel this is just going to be absolutely lapped up by my audience and community. And I'm just so grateful that you've made time for us in your very abundant schedule.
Well, thank you so much. And I would say that my life story is encapsulated in the duality of being.
Yes.
It's called Perspectives for Multidimensional Travel. And that was my very first book that I wrote. And it really encapsulates all the work that I do today and the evolution of me until that time of the printing, you know.
Amazing.
So well,
we'll
I would encourage.
Share that link as well so people can get that book and get to know you even more. Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much. And thank you everybody for joining us. And we will see you next time. So much love. In 2022, the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence is bringing you a whole new way to get qualified as a professional intuitive. The Intuitive Intelligence Method Accreditation is a 100-hour training program, including personal development, professional development, and spiritual development, that will take your skills as an intuitive to the level of superconscious. This program is available online and in person across a range of different dates and deliveries in 2022 and 2023. We'd love for you to head to the instituteforintuitiveintelligence.com to find out more about how you can get qualified faster and more efficiently to increase your power to serve.